Hi, my name is Dr. Maria Wright, filling in for Dr. Hilary Van Corn, your moderator for tonight's house call. I am so glad you are taking the time tonight to listen to our house call, Stay Around Telephone Group Visit, making 2018 your heart healthiest year yet. This is an interactive call. If you have a question at any time during this call, please press 0 and we will answer your questions live. If you want to schedule an appointment with your PCP for a physical or to address any concerns that may come up for you, just press 7 and have your Kaiser card ready. It's free to participate. Just stay on the line to join. There are three important things I want you to learn from our call today: myths versus facts, common challenges, and making changes for your healthiest heart. Don't forget, if you have a question at any time, please press 0 and we will answer your questions live as time permits. You can also make an appointment with your PCP for your annual physical or health check on any of these concerns if you press 7. Because this call is recorded, please just use your first name on air. Of course, if you have pressed 7 and would like to make an appointment, this information is entirely confidential. Your continuing to listen and participate indicates your agreement with our recording. Please have your Kaiser card available if you want to schedule an appointment. But let's start with our first poll question. True or false? People with high blood pressure have symptoms like headaches and dizziness. I don't have those symptoms, so I'm good. Press 1 for true and 2 for false. Okay, so we're looking at 64% false, 36% true. Well, tonight I am extremely happy to introduce you to our wonderful South Sacramento providers joining us, Dr. Howard Din, a cardiologist, and Dr. Millen Ratanasan, an internist with our ATCO program. Drs. Din and Ratanasan, is this true or false?
I can start.
Sure.
This is Dr. Howard Din. Clearly, we have a very sophisticated audience online, and the answer is absolutely false. Hypertension is considered to be a silent killer for a very good reason. It is very deadly, and it is the number one risk factor for heart attack and the number one risk factor for stroke. So the answer is false. Another thing we should know is that only 50% of patients with hypertension actually have it under control, and about 46% of our population in the U.S. have hypertension. So that is definitely a myth.
So, Dr. Din, when you talk about the number one risk factor for heart attacks and stroke, and so then it really is important to treat high blood pressure. I mean, this I hear, heart attacks and stroke, is just scary.
Yes, because heart attacks and stroke, aside from causing death, I think in a way more important than that are the kinds of disability that both diseases have on our patients.
Wow.
The inability to talk or to walk, mm-hmm. having heart failure, so these are very important disease processes.
Yeah, scary too. Mm-hmm. Can we discuss a little bit, maybe Dr. Ratanasan, you could talk a little bit about lowering blood pressure, common health conditions associated with hypertension.
Absolutely. So when you see your doctor, oftentimes we will check your blood pressure, and if you have hypertension or high blood pressure, we talk to you about ways of lowering that blood pressure. And I think usually folks automatically think that means medications. Now, in a lot of cases, that is true, and we do need medications, but it can't be said enough how important that changes to your lifestyle can play a huge impact on that, especially if your blood pressure is already close to being at goal. And we'll get into that a little bit later about the numbers.
Okay.
But there's a lot of things you can do. One of the things we talk about is decreasing your sodium intake, and mm-hmm. sodium is salt. And if you don't look at food labels, that would be important to learn how to look at food labels. And we have classes that can teach you about that. And again, you can press 7 if you want to join in on one of those classes. But for instance, we recommend sodium intake being less than 2,000 milligrams a day. Mm-hmm. Losing weight can certainly improve blood pressure. Even losing 1 pound,
wow.
Each pound might lead to a drop of 1 point in that blood pressure. So some folks near that borderline, if they only need to drop by another 5-10 points, dropping that 5 to 10 pounds, could do a lot of good. Go ahead.
So making small differences, like actually trying to walk every day and watching the salt in our diet, can actually make a difference, it looks like.
Absolutely. And with that, increasing your vegetables, increasing your fruits, smoking and alcohol. You know, those things we oftentimes, when you come into our office in the primary care office, adult medicine,
mm-hmm.
we'll ask you about smoking and alcohol. And we're not doing it to be annoying. You know,
mm-hmm.
we are doing it because that's a very contributing factor to high blood pressure, among other things. So,
okay.
You know, decreasing your alcohol intake. For women, we typically recommend no more than 1 drink a day.
Wow.
For men, it's no more than 2 drinks a day.
So less partying. Okay.
That's right.
So don't forget, if you have any question at any time, please press 0 and we will answer your questions live as time permits. If you need to make an appointment or would like to make one with your primary care provider for a physical or any health check, you can press 7. So what are the options for treatment?
So there's a lot of options for treatment, and some of those lifestyle changes
mm-hmm.
I mentioned, and there's medications as well. What I wanted to get into also was first some definitions also
mm-hmm.
about blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so for folks that, you know, they may have some questions, what exactly is high blood pressure?
Yeah.
What? And so quite simply, it's the pressure that your blood is putting on your arteries, and
mm-hmm.
That's the pressure that your heart has to work against when it's forcing blood
mm-hmm.
to pump through your blood vessels. And so if you have a higher pressure, then the harder it is for your heart to work against that pressure. And over time, your heart has trouble doing that and can get worn out.
Mm-hmm. Like the water hose, I guess. Visualize that with...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a good analogy.
Okay.
So some numbers to keep in mind, and I don't want to get too technical here,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, normal blood pressure is less than 120
mm-hmm.
over 80, and
mm-hmm.
that's your top number and your bottom number.
Mm-hmm.
That top number is the pressure when your heart is pumping.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom number is the pressure when your heart is relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're taking blood pressure, you want to know what the top number and the bottom number is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, normal, less than 120, less than 180.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, less than 80.
Wait. Do you have any comments, Dr. Taylor?
Nope. That's a good summary.
So we have actually a caller I'm going to take. She has a question about her blood pressure. See here. So let me just move it quickly here for Yvette. Yvette, are you on the line?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm really concerned with the high blood pressure, heart attack, and stroke.
Mm-hmm.
I asked the question is, when do you go to the doctor? And I've been to the doctor to where my blood pressure is extremely high.
Mm-hmm.
And they change the medication, but yet instead they send me home. What happens if I walk out and I have a heart attack or a stroke? It seems like I'm not getting the services and I know I've lost a few pounds. I'm trying my best to eat right, but evidently
uh-huh.
something else is going on.
Okay, well, I'll have the specialist comment on it.
This is Dr. Din. This is a really terrific question, and clearly the caller takes an active role in concern about her blood pressure. Having a very high blood pressure like this is an indication that we have to do a better job in controlling it. Whether you are admitted to the hospital or not is dependent on many other things, such as symptoms that suggest that there is something worse going on. But the main thing that I think, which the probably she went to the emergency room, that they did right was that they make sure that nothing bad is happening and a plan for medications as well as lifestyle changes were prescribed. And Carla will need to be followed up closely.
So one of the things is in terms of medications, we've talked a little bit about those lifestyle changes. It's also important that folks are taking their medications on a regular basis as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of medications to choose from. There are certain ones that we prefer rather than others because they have those benefits and they try to minimize those side effects. And sometimes people have certain conditions, let's say diabetes,
mm-hmm.
or they have kidney disease, and there are certain medications that are better for those folks.
Mm-hmm.
But for folks who continue to have high blood pressures despite taking medications, I would say it's very important to follow up with your doctor and make sure that you are taking those medications, trying to adhere to those lifestyle changes, and follow up with your doctor because then more work absolutely would need to be done.
Does that answer your question, Vivette?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. We'll move on to the next. Thank you. So we have Diana. Diana, are you on the line?
Thank you. I was just wondering, how do I prevent white coat high blood pressure or pain like from arthritis elevating it?
Okay.
Dr. Din, this is a great question. White coat hypertension, so that everyone on the line is clear, is when our blood pressure is elevated at the doctor's office, but it is actually normal at home. That's why the word white coat comes in. So one of the ways that we want to make sure this is not happening is that when you are at the office, we have special techniques to try to get a very calm environment to take the blood pressure without a lot mm-hmm. of people there and really get what we call a true blood pressure. In addition, there are ways in which we can monitor your blood pressure at home to give us a better picture of white coat hypertension because, luckily, white coat hypertension is not as bad as straight out hypertension or another variant of hypertension as well.
So one of the things I wanted to piggyback on is that idea of checking your blood pressure at home, which I think is important. And so folks who have a diagnosis of hypertension, it is worth investing in a blood pressure cuff to be able to take your blood pressure at home. And you don't need any kind of fancy cuff. The one we sell here is about $40. It's called the Omron 3. Unfortunately, insurance does not cover it, but hopefully something that might change in the future. I'm not sure about that. But either way, I think something worth investing in. And, the typical cuff is on your upper arm. You put in wrist cuffs are not recommended. So folks out there with wrist cuffs, they aren't necessarily accurate. And when you're checking your blood pressure, you want to make sure you're relaxed. If you look at guidelines, they even recommend that you wait 5 minutes, kind of quiet and relaxed. Your feet should be on the floor. Your back should be supported. Ideally, there's been no caffeine or smoking or exercise within 30 minutes of checking. To the caller's point about pain certainly can raise blood pressure. The tricky part is pain medicines can also raise blood pressure as well. So there's no easy answer to that other than two separate issues. One is trying to address that pain and at the same time trying to get those accurate blood pressure readings.
Yes. Does that answer your question, Diana? Thank you very much.
Thank you, but I do have to use a wrist cuff.
Okay. We'll move on to our next caller, Moise.
Moise?
Yes. So I have a question that how to quit the
medicine. If I'm taking the medicine from now 6 years, so is there any way to quit? Or I'm thinking not to take medicine from 2 or 3 days and then go for the blood pressure check. If it is normal, so can we quit taking medicine?
That's a great question. Let me go ahead.
Sure. Really terrific question. The answer is absolutely yes. You can quit taking blood pressure medicine, but the blood pressure has to be consistently normal. So the first part is, when should we quit taking blood pressure medicine? Well, if we do all the lifestyle interventions that Dr. Rattanasan had spoken about earlier on, such as controlling our sodium intake, losing weight, eating more vegetables, decreasing alcohol intake, and being active, what we might see is that the blood pressure starts to go down and may even be low. That's an indication that we should withdraw the blood pressure medicine. Now, there is a situation where I commonly see in my clinic a lot, is that patients are on blood pressure medicines that are very appropriate, and they check the blood pressure, and they are normal. And they decide to stop taking the medicines. Well, guess what happened? More often than not, the blood pressure starts to go up. So don't do that without your doctor's input. This is a very important mistake that I've seen a lot.
I definitely have to echo Dr. Din on that. Certainly with my patients, if a patient wants to try going off the medicines, we can try that, but it's very important to still follow up. So if you're going to try something like that, you have to continually check it to see where it's going. I think even if you were to check it once afterwards, then it was good and you stopped and said, oh, I'm good, I don't have to check anymore. That's where the danger lies, is what if it comes back up? And it goes back to, especially folks with high blood pressure, would be to making sure you're getting checked. Now, if you can't get a cuff in, if you can't afford a cuff or buy one for yourself, we certainly can do blood pressure checks in our office. And oftentimes we offer those as those are free checks. Now, we do free blood pressure checks that you can walk up to any of our clinics and we'll check your blood pressure for you. It won't be a doctor's visit. You don't see a doctor, but you'll see the nurse and our nurse practitioner, if she's free, to check your blood pressure and then make any adjustments if needed.
Great. That's great.
Yeah. So but my other question is very quick, because is there any standard measurement for the about the age? For example, I'm 55 or 58 years old. So what the standard of the blood pressure? What average?
Okay.
Yeah, great question. I think it's safe to say that we have one standard of the definition of what is normal blood pressure and what is abnormal blood pressure. And in the abnormal range, there are different levels of severity. So as an adult, the goal should be to get the blood pressure normal. So we do not try to distinguish if you're 50 or you're 40 or you're 60, that we can try to get to a different normal blood pressure.
Great.
And that normal being what we talked about earlier, less than 120 over 80.
Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to move right along to a very, very good question. Let's move on to our next poll question. And here we go. So the next poll question, the blood pressure I check at home can be more accurate than the one checked at the doctor's office. Press 1 for true and 2 for false. Okay. So 62%, about 60% said true, said false, and 37% is true. Could you please both comment on this?
Yes, very interesting. So, so the question again, true or false, the blood pressure I check at home can be more accurate than the one checked at the doctor's office? And the answer is actually true. So we have here about 61% of the folks saying false. So this may sound a little different than what we've said in the past. And certainly I've been guilty of it myself, telling my patients, oh, you know, the one you check at home may not be as accurate. You know, check it here. And it's a somewhat tricky question. Now, the blood pressure you check at home, as long as you do it accurately, can be more accurate than the one we take in the doctor's office. We talked about things that can influence blood pressure, exercise. So if you're rushing to the clinic, having even a full bladder, you haven't gone to the bathroom yet, being in a busy clinic. So checking it at home, as long as done accurately, is a very good and valid measure. Okay. Now, oftentimes I'll still have my patients check in the office because we want to correlate that measure and make sure you're doing it correctly also. But it goes to show that, I guess I should repeat about checking at home, you'd want to check your upper arm cuff, rest for about 5 minutes in quiet, no speaking, back supported, feet on the floor, no caffeine, no smoking, no exercise within 30 minutes of checking. You want to have an empty bladder. And when I tell patients to check, what I ask them to do is to check every day for about maybe 2 weeks or so. Even twice a day can be sometimes recommended. And once you get those values, you look at the trend. And I think that's important to tell folks, too, is that, you know, blood pressure is a spectrum. It's a moving thing. And what we look at is consistency. Where are most of those values?
Mm-hmm.
An occasional high value here and there doesn't tell as much as the whole trend.
Yes. And I guess the point to add is as long as we're following the right way to do it and
right.
it's consistent.
Right.
And, yeah.
And I don't want to give patients the wrong message is that if you come to the doctor's office to say, I don't want my blood pressure checked, because we do want to still check it in the office as well. But that additional information of checking it at home is very important as well.
Great. Can I make a comment?
Yes.
I'd like to echo that recommendation, and I encourage all patients with a history of hypertension to have a blood pressure cuff and check it at home and do it right. A couple of comments on special situations. Sometimes we don't have that and we go to the pharmacy or some other situation. Be careful with that because we are not sure when those blood pressure cuffs there are calibrated or checked to make sure that they are correctly measuring your blood pressure. In addition, the cuff size may not be correct for you,
mm-hmm.
and so that may be not a good situation. One other thing is that if you do check your blood pressure at home, you have to be in a very calm environment because the act of you trying to pump the blood pressure up, if you don't have an automatic one, can lead to elevated blood pressure as well. And then finally, just to make sure why you understand why checking at home is important, there is an entity of high blood pressure that is more concerning than white coat hypertension, and that is masked hypertension. What masked hypertension is that when you go to your doctor, the blood pressure is normal, but when at home it is high. And so we want to make sure that we are checking at home as well.
Good points, good points. I'm actually going to move on to since we're kind of running out of time, I'm going to move on to our third poll question just to see what our listeners are thinking. So moving on to our third one, and this is for true or false, I don't use table salt, so I'm in control of my sodium intake and my blood pressure. Press 1 for true and 2 for false. Okay, so we have 81% that press true and about 20% press false. Do we want to comment on this?
I can address this. Terrific. Unfortunately, table salt is not the only place. that Americans get their high sodium from. And so I just wanted to remind everyone that we have a list of the top six types of food that is very high in sodium that our callers may not realize. They are, one, breads and rolls,
mm-hmm.
two, cold cuts and cured meats, three, sandwiches, four, pizza, five, soup, and six, chicken. And needless to say, eating out is really bad because we have developed our taste buds to like salty foods.
Mm-hmm.
So the key takeaway message here is that we have to be reading the nutrition label and be looking at the sodium content.
Yes. And I know we all, a lot of us love breads and rolls, which is an issue. We're going to take actually one last caller call question for Jose. Jose, are you on the line? Jose?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go ahead.
So my concern or question is that my blood pressure is about 150 over 80. So the bottom number, obviously, I keep getting referred to, it's fine, no problem, but I can't drop that 150. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I have cut down on, like you said, meat or anything that's processed, basically. And I exercise four or five times a week, but I still have problems, you know, in the bringing down the blood pressure. I have, I think, three medications in addition to a water pill. So, I mean, he's been just trying to, you know, slowly increase medication and, you know, remove the water from my body, but I just have problems. I, you know, anywhere from 150, 160 to 145 are my numbers. What else would you recommend?
Yes, great
can
question.
I, before, Jose, can I ask you real quick, do you check your blood pressures at home at all?
Hello? I guess we lost Jose. Sorry. I'm sorry, you lost him.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say first, Jose, I think you're hopefully you're still listening, is one is I think you would be a perfect case is to check your blood pressure at home also. I think more data would be more information would be helpful for you to check your blood pressure at home in that relaxed environment and see and get those numbers for maybe 2 weeks straight so that you can take a look and see what those numbers are. They may be better than what you're getting in the clinic. Now, they may not be completely at goal, but they may be better. So I think that's the first step. The second step would be it certainly sounds, and let's say you are doing that first step already, it certainly sounds like you're doing everything you can. Certainly you've addressed all the kind of lifestyle things we've talked about in trying to get those things under control. Now, and you're on three blood pressure medicines, it sounds like you're taking them regularly. There are folks out there who whose blood pressure does not come down as easily despite what you're doing. And in that kind of situation, there are sometimes other factors that are contributing to high blood pressure. So I would highly recommend that you do talk to your doctor about looking into potential causes that could be contributing to this. There are rare but certain conditions. I guess the more common one is something like obstructive sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a very common cause of uncontrolled high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
That's a condition where folks essentially stop breathing when they sleep, and they may feel very tired during the day. Their partner or spouse may tell them, oh, you stop breathing when you sleep. They may snore a lot, those kinds of things. So there are certain issues there. Sometimes other medications could be influencing it too. So it'd be worth looking at the list of medications to see, are there other things you're regularly taking that could be causing this? And then there are some other more rare but things to look at, not everybody should get tested for them, but something to at least consider. And those certain hormone conditions
mm-hmm.
that can affect your thyroid or affect the adrenaline in your body.
Great. Any last-minute comments?
Yeah, those are really terrific things that could elevate blood pressure despite medicine. I just add a couple things more. One, I didn't hear anything about the alcohol bit. Very prevalent in our society.
Yes.
And so it depends on the tolerance. It may not seem like it's a lot of alcohol, but we have to be careful. The other thing is stress reduction. Whose lives are not stressed at home or at work? So we need to be aware of that as well and take measures to correct that.
Great, and it looks like our time has just escaped from us. I'm very, very glad that so many people joined us tonight, and a big thank you to our Dr. Zinn and Dr. Ratanasan. Remember, if you have questions that we did not address tonight, and I know that unfortunately we did not get to all the callers, please, you can follow up with your primary care provider. You can also get more information on kp.org. For generic non-personal questions, you can also call 916-544-6220 to our health education department, and they can connect you with a health coach to let you know more about this program and other programs to help you stay as healthy as possible. Thank you all for listening, and good night.